welcome to our Square Experience podcast. We are so excited that you're here to join us. As a reminder, I'm Andre, and I'm joined by Bruce, and we are your hosts.
Hey.
And today...
Hey, girl.
All right, go ahead.
And today, we are joined by a radio host, LGBTQ activist, actor, piano man, musical artist, and all-around experienced guy, Brandon Carmody, who is founder of the LGBTQ News Radio back in 2015 that has only grown and evolved since then and has been making music for the last 20 years. So it's so cool to have you on the show, Brandon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So that was all true what you said. I've been endeavoring to enter into the foray of radio, or shall we call it online radio, or podcasting for about 3 years now. And I can tell you that I've learned a lot along the way. I've made every type of mistake possible.
There's a lot of growth and learning resiliency, it sounds like you have to have, right?
Well, one thing I can tell you, because I noticed that we're all using Blog Talk Radio now, which, by the way, I'm not the spokesperson for them, but basically the software, you know, you take live callers and the calls go on hold and you can see who's calling. I didn't know about that for the longest time, so I was using a conference line to record, you know, panelist interviews. And you know what happens when you put 10 people on a conference line? You hear everything. If they're driving in traffic, you hear that. If they're watching TV in the background. So you got one person talking and you hear 7 people and what they're fidgeting with. I can't believe that I didn't know about something like Blog Talk Radio when I allowed chaotic and crazy conference calls for like 2 years. No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely Blog Talk Radio. I'm thankful for it. It's allowed a lot of connections and made this whole process a lot more manageable. And, you know, I'm not sure we'd be able to do it without them. So kudos to Blog Talk Radio. Hashtag not sponsored.
Yet.
So, Brandon, tell us a little about what inspired you to start the LGBTQ News Radio and kind of the mission behind it.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you. So I was initially invited in the tail end of 2014 by a very popular drag queen in Portland, Oregon, to join an actual FM radio station. They were looking for hosts, and I got pulled into that world. And unfortunately, after a brief stint and some chaotic events, that FM radio station, I ended up parting ways. And I thought, well, that was a real bummer because they were attempting to be like the nation's first and only dedicated LGBTQ station, and I really appreciated what their mission was. And so then I sort of have this epiphany, like, wait, could I do that? I mean, they were mostly on the internet anyway. And so when I started exploring, you know, different podcasting sites and what type of equipment I would need, I started to realize that somehow, without my own realization, that podcasting had come back and exploded in a huge way. In a modern era, in an era of smartphones, 24/7 cable news, somehow podcasts had dominated the industry. So I started fidgeting with it and doing some really cheesy broadcasts. And then in May of 2015, I used Twitter to create an account or what would eventually become Gay News Radio, and I found people like Roddy Biggs and a few other contributors. They're like, that sounds like a great idea, a great way to express our voices and our unity. The early birth of it began there in May 2015.
Wow.
Roddy's been on the show, actually, before. We're a big fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and as we've watched him, you know, as a contributor for now 3 years, I think I mentioned to you guys in an email, I don't know if you ever watched the show 24, but basically everyone else in Jack Bauer's life dies along the way, and Chloe is the one person that's been with them through the whole journey. So Roddy Biggs is my Chloe.
That's quite an honor.
But now working as an HRC youth ambassador and for the Trevor Project, he's really distinguished vocal advocate for all LGBTQIA rights, and we really do appreciate him.
Yeah, he's really something. He's so cool and so involved. We had a great conversation about advocacy and getting active with him. I had a question for you, Brandon. Through both your musician life and through your broadcasting life, there's been ups and downs. So how do you stay positive and optimistic through all of that?
Oh, that is a great question. So I would like to hearken this all back a little bit to the election of 2016 for just a brief moment. So just try imagining taking the temperature of everyone's emotions, where they were at, their anxiety levels during that chaotic time, you know, when we were seeing that incredible, you know, historic showdown between Trump and Hillary, and the way attitudes were changing and hate crimes were on the rise and just all the intensity of that. So long story short, we were contacted by hundreds and hundreds of people who said that those events were devastating to them and they could foresee that our lives were going to change forever. And then now when you review all the statistics, everything coming out from HRC, the continual trans murders, the uptick in hate crimes, depression and teen suicide, I see that the need for continuous positivity, encouragement, and unification has never been more vital. It's almost scaring me to have to say these words both to you and on the air right now, but unity now more than ever is vital in this historic time.
Amen to that. Unity is definitely vital, even more so now than before, as we were saying. So how has you've had quite the eventful life. Can you tell us kind of about that and how you kept moving forward through all of that?
Well, so I think that everyone has a coming out story. One of the arduous and dramatic things is it. You'll find a commonality in a lot of people's stories that they had issues with their families, maybe parents or families in general during that time. I am no different. I had some incredibly dramatic struggles with my parents. So I basically lived a lie like a lot of people do and continued to have girlfriends and live in that vein for many years. And then somewhere in the early 2000s, started to really embrace true identity, and I was met with some incredible hostility from both parents, if you can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share one dramatic story with you. So our entire family became homeless in 1996. So I had just taken a European choir tour. So I was in choir all the years of high school, and we went on this incredible two-week tour through Vienna, Austria, and Germany, Budapest, Hungary. And I did not realize that my mother, so determined to send me on the trip, had basically taken the last of our rent money to pay for my European trip. So, no joke, we literally ended up being evicted from a hall as a result of it and ended up moving into a motel together. There were six of us living in a two-bed motel. And I couldn't bear it. So I decided to move out for a while and go live with some friends because that situation was untenable. But my family ended up staying in the motel for 5 years up until a very dramatic death happened in 2001. My grandmother actually passed away in the motel, which caused their eviction. And I had finally obtained my own apartment by that era. And my parents conspired with my brother to secretly move into my home against my will while I was at work. So it's basically like this. One day I was a bachelor embracing my LGBTQ lifestyle and freedom, and I came home from work one day to find that my homeless parents had taken over my home, and I was like a hostage in my own home, if you can imagine the reverse duality of that.
Wow. So how did he respond?
Well, so I felt trapped at first, but the situation continued for some months because it was extremely desperate. My mother's been in poor health, and I did not want to contend her to death. It was just, they trapped me. They got me. It's one of those things that you have to work out for years and years later. But the problem is that I was in the middle of discovering my LGBTQ identity and dating men, and the internet was in its infancy, so I was dating a lot. So they basically were in my living room and got a front row seat to gentlemen callers. And that was, I would have to say, eye-opening for them, but they dramatically confronted me about choices that I was making with men and with drugs in certain situations. And it just reached a point of impasse to where I could no longer live my life. And I fled the apartment in a panic. I left them there and I left my brother there. And I went to a safe house for several months to figure out an exit strategy. And it ended up being that I came back, got a different apartment, and they agreed to take over that apartment, and we reached a compromise. But, yeah, so if ever there were dramatics about my parents' disapproval about my sexuality, them having a front row seat did not help.
So with your family there, you still brought guys back? That's gutsy.
So the most horrifying thing that happened during that era, and I'm so glad that my mother came around full circle a few years later, but when I left the apartment and I told them that I was leaving and it was going to be theirs, my mother actually said to me that when you get there, I hope your friends do a good job spoon-feeding you when you're dying of AIDS, Brandon.
Wow.
And that was the darkest and coldest thing that my mother's ever said to me in my life. But that was 2001, and just 3 years later, in 2004, I was engaged and on my way to being married as part of a historic same-sex marriage push in Portland, and my mother by then had come full circle and was part of the wedding planning committee. So I'm pleased to say that there is a happy ending, but like most happy ending stories, it had to have its dark and arduous moments to get there.
So did you stay in touch with your family through that time, or did you kind of cut them off until they came around?
No, there's never been a moment where we've been cut off from communication. It's just been a matter of disagreeing with choices. We're pretty much, my core family all lives in Oregon within short distance from each other. We're actually all gathering for my father's birthday this upcoming Saturday.
That's exciting.
Yeah. He silently continues to disapprove of me turning away from women, but he doesn't vocalize it nearly as much. He's kind of accepted it's been 20 years now. It's not going to change.
Yeah. So,
Brandon,
how did you...
Go ahead, Andre. I'm sorry.
No, go for it, Bruce.
Do you think that that's the key, is just give it time and they'll come around? So we're doing kind of a family theme this week in response to a listener who is kind of dealing with, because he still lives at home, he's kind of dealing with these issues. Parents aren't exactly accepting. So would your advice in that situation just be give it time? Was that the key in yours?
Oh, I think it's so much more nuanced, gentlemen. In the case, in my particular family's case, I was really surprised at my mother's coming full circle, because it seemed to have a lot more to do with the birth of my niece. My sister, my youngest sister, very young, was actually the first to bring a grandchild into the picture, and it was a real shock and it was a surprise, but it somehow had incredible influence on changing my parents' attitudes, my mother in particular, and that sister had also been part of an LGBTQ organization in Portland called SMRC, as she was dealing with some bisexuality issues. So if you take that into account, my parents were suddenly confronted with 2 out of 4 of their children dealing with some type of sexuality issues, and they could no longer be like, it's just a branded thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sure. I do credit my sister and her involvement with an LGBTQ organization and identifying as bisexual as having put some extreme pressure on my mom to get with the times and realize this is not the 1950s. But
yeah.
I think the answer varies from person to person. I am not sure that there is a handbook that I could lay down before us right now to say this is the roadmap to family acceptance. Unfortunately, as we see from the daily tweets of Dr. Ron Holt, who, by the way, just to mention him, is an amazing LGBTQ advocate, a friend of LGBTQ News Radio. In his daily tweets, he's reminding everyone that although you've been rejected by your family, you are loved. So sometimes acceptance may not come from within, but from our community.
Yeah. So I know within the queer community, there's a lot of debate over how to handle family that isn't approving or accepting. It sounds like you kind of toughed it out and waited, like, stayed in touch with their family through all the hard times. Is that the advice you would give to folks to still stay connected to their family?
Oh, well, that's an easy answer for me, and that is so much bigger than just, you know, LGBTQ identity.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some dramatic times in my family. I didn't mention it up to this point, but I was homeless and in a few situations of disparity in years leading up to the things that happened to my parents in 2001. And they had rescued me a time or two, and they had definitely seen the intense struggles that I went through with my sexual identity and dating and struggles with drugs. So I absolutely would never put the journey that I've been on their backs. I mean, I've made dark choices and been in some places that put incredible strain on them. So when you're a family unit, you know, I definitely feel the love and that we're going to be with each other through the end, even though they may agree or disagree with some choices. Or in my dad's case, he honestly is still hoping that maybe by his deathbed that I'll return back to women, which we know is not going to happen. But there was never a moment when I thought about leaving my family. I can give you, unfortunately, another example of someone very close to me right now that has cut off all contact with their family. And it doesn't seem like that is going to resolve itself anytime soon. And my biggest fear with that is that as parents grow elderly and time goes by, that could be a 10-year period of silence, 20-year, or you could reach a point where you never resolve it in this lifetime. So I don't advocate separating from your family unless you are in some type of physical or emotional danger of abuse.
Thanks for sharing that. It sounds like your family has been together through a lot of difficult times and have really forged bonds that run deeper than I think most even.
Yes, much more than I can share on the air, but I've given you the basic framework. And as the years go by, you know, fortunately, aside from my grandmother who passed in 2001, we're all currently living. Not everyone is in great health, but I'm pleased each day that I have both parents. There are several people in my church community that unfortunately share their stories with me continuously about what it was like to lose one or both parents. And so that's something, as I realized last night, by the way, as I was doing a YouTube video, that I'm now in the 40 to 49 age group for men. And it was like, oh, gosh. And my best friend's father is 87. So I know that it's possible for some men to live longer than others, but the men in my family don't have a very good track record of getting past like 67. So I just want to love and share love and be there every day and be thankful for every day, because you never know.
Yes.
And that's awesome. We definitely appreciate your message and what you're doing with your radio show, with your videos, with, you know, your music. Your message is something that people need to hear. So we appreciate you sharing that with us and with them too.
Yeah, and we are looking for folks to join LGBTQ News Radio. So I did a little Periscope video last night. We're starting to get responses in DMs from people, which is ultimately how we're going to communicate, through DM or through email. But we would like to give the LGBTQ community the chance to either host their own show, co-host a show, or weigh in on topical issues and get your voice out there. You know, we have Blog Talk Radio and other options available. Money is not involved. This is about the cause. This is about our community and our voices. I would be more than happy to communicate with people and talk about what's possible. And we have a lot of those dialogues going on right now. We're appreciative that it seems to be getting started.
And if any of our listeners want to get involved in that, how can they contact you?
So you can go onto our Twitter, which is at LGBTQ News Radio. Please also feel free to drop us an email. It's LGBTQNewsRadio@gmail.com.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We've enjoyed talking with you. Well, that wraps up Family Week. How do you feel, Bruce?
Families are weird, man. Every family's different. And so I'm not sure how helpful we were. You know what I'm saying?
This
whole thing started with somebody's question, and I'm not sure that we actually helped all that much with that. We definitely explored it, and we, you know, highlighted different experiences, which is all we really can do. So I'm not sure that there's a conclusion that we can reach for the week. I don't know.
I think we've heard various different kinds of tells and interactions with family. And I think maybe one of the overarching themes has been patience and grace.
Yeah. Patience and
communication
and grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Families aren't easy. Even the most supportive families, you're going to have issues with.
Yeah. Right.
Love doesn't mean never fighting. It means always making up.
Yep.
Eventually.
Eventually. Or at least trying.
Yes. Yeah. And hopefully you've had listeners who maybe have heard their own stories reflected or didn't hear their stories reflected and will contact us via Twitter or Facebook or email and share their stories with us. And we can kind of talk about that later.
Our handle is at OQE Podcast. That is on Facebook and Twitter, and that's at Gmail as well, if you want to email us. We'd love to hear from you, hear what you'd like us to discuss, hear your story. If you're not comfortable with sharing it publicly, feel free to do it privately. We won't put you on blast or anything. Don't worry about that. But we just want to hear from you. We just want to figure this thing out together, man. And
some of our listeners have tweeted at us, and it's been awesome. Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce. What did he say?
I was just trying to make a joke, but I'm not sure it came. It was, I don't know, never mind. Because I said man, and then I realized that it's queer, so then no, I should include the ladies. And then, everything in between, I guess. Everything else.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Men, the ladies, the trans folks, the genderqueer, and everyone else. All the people with different terms that better capture who they are.
What are we talking about next week, Andre?
Politics! At least on Monday.
What was that?
Exciting.
Your voice just went really high there.
Sorry.
Politics.
Are you going through puberty?
Is that better?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, you'll finish
politics.
Puberty one of these days. Just give it time.
Hey, if puberty means I can lose some of this baby fat, that would be fantastic. Because I could use some miracle weight loss right now. Politics,
so we're talking about politics next week? Yeah.
Yeah. Not the entire week, but on Monday. And then we have two interviews next week, yeah?
We do indeed. We have... Who do we have? I don't remember.
On Friday, we have Suzanne DeWitt Hell, book author and devotionalist. And on Wednesday, we have...
Jorge Santana. I just like saying his name. It's just fun to say.
And
interrupt. I just like to say his name. I'm just going to scream his name occasionally, and then you do the rest. That's good with me.
Okay. Get it out of your system. Do it again.
Jorge Santana.
He actually be our first ally on the show, which is really nifty. He is the founder of Gay Pride Bowties, and his mission is to help bring unity to all folks. So we are looking forward to both of those conversations with both Jorge and Suzanne, and we hope you are too.
Suzanne DeWitt Hall. It doesn't quite have the same ring, but I like it. It has plenty of syllables.
They're both awesome people. So
no, they are. Great conversations. I'm excited to share them with our listeners.
Yay, me too.
Well, awesome. That does it for us here at our Queer Experience.
Yeah. Have a great weekend. And bye, y'all.